Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in this thy law. Amen. Please be seated. Prepare the way. Advent is a season of preparation. Yesterday, I woke up at 6:30 in the morning to prepare. Why? Well, many towns throughout the U.S. have their annual Christmas parade. Even if you're driving down Saxon, you probably saw a couple of boats that still have Christmas lights strung all over them, or floats parked on, not even in the driveway, just in the front grass of their house. But I woke up at 6:30 in the morning because I was going to get a prime spot on Main Street in DeLand. So I got my beach chairs out. I got down there. It was 6:30 in the morning, only to realize that every spot had already been taken. Someone had prepared better than I did. In business, there's this axiom which says, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Planning and preparation are very necessary for thriving, for flourishing. The passage that we just read in Matthew chapter 3 tells us about planning and preparation. It tells us about this coming king. It's the story of John the Baptist, a forerunner, a pathfinder, if you will, someone who goes before the king to prepare the way, to tell everybody to get ready. And it was beautiful. I was looking forward to this parade. I was told by the mayor that we were going to have Clydesdales. And we all had all of our chairs out. The streets were packed. And all of a sudden, I saw this inside the parade. I thought what should be the Clydesdales, and then discovered it was just two semi-trucks. And all you could see was the Clydesdales inside a little window. It was too rainy, and they weren't going to put the Clydesdales out so they didn't get a cold or something like that. So you do all this planning and preparation, and then disappointment, right? But that's not what John the Baptist sings. Prepare the way, because the king is coming. And the three things that we can glean from this passage today are this: prepare the physical space, prepare the spiritual space, and then prepare to be amazed. Prepare the physical space. You see, in the first century, if a dignitary, if a king or a governor was going to visit your location, he would send heralds out, and not all the roads back then were as good as our roads, although you may have questions about I-4, but they weren't even as good as I-4. There were twists and turns. You went up hills and down hills, and so Isaiah 40 tells us all about a herald going before God and saying, prepare the way, make the rough places plain and the crooked straight. So prepare the way physically. We prepare the way physically here. We put on our Sunday best. We try to show up on time. We come and we gather with other Christians. That's how we prepare the place. Did you know that to make all three of our Sunday services work, it takes 33 different volunteers to make it happen? Seriously, it takes three volunteers on Sunday morning, on Saturday morning, to arrange the flowers or the greenery. It takes two volunteers to set up the Holy Communion. The bread and wine doesn't just magically appear up there. It takes three volunteers to run the sound, the audio, and the cameras for our live stream and the liturgy for you guys to read on the screens. It takes two volunteers to read the passages for us. It takes eight volunteers to serve communion and read the rest of the readings. It takes four greeters and ushers. It takes at least three volunteers to make the cookies and the coffee. There's a lot of physical preparation that goes into preparing just for 1 hour. How much physical preparation do we do in preparation for the coming of the king? This week, because it got cold, I often light fires in my backyard. I got nice little burn pits that you can pick up at Lowe's or something like that. And I love it. I love seeing the logs burn. But then you can see a piece of the log fall off, and that bit of coal that was bright orange and red and bursting into flames, when it falls off, it turns gray and ashen. But Then you grab those tongs and you move the gray and ashen thing and you put it right back on. And the ash and the gray of the coal falls away and it bursts back into life. That's why in Hebrews it says, do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but meet together. And that's when the coal starts burning again. Prepare the way, the physical. Prepare the physical space. If you have family coming over for Christmas, I'm sure that you just don't say, oh, well, they're coming over. Let's just forget about that. You might dust. You might vacuum. You probably will even make sure that the bed sheets they're going to sleep on are actually washed and made, unless you're a bad host. So the people of Israel knew that the Messiah was coming. They'd prepared the physical space. They were meeting at temple. They were praying three times a day. They were praying at all their services. They thought they were physically ready. But the second thing that John the Baptist says, they thought they were physically ready, but then they realized they hadn't prepared the place spiritually. That on the outside, they looked one way, but on the inside, when you find out that a friend is coming over, you're like, you know what? Man, yeah, I just spotted that dust on that air conditioner vent. I should probably dust my house. They knew that their own personal lives weren't up to snuff. So even on the outside, they prepared physically, but they need to prepare inwardly and spiritually. So John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near. Now, I don't think you probably use the word repent on a regular day basis in your everyday conversation. But repentance, in both Hebrew and in Greek, repentance, yeshuv, which means to do a 180 turn, physical turn. In Greek, it's metanoia. It's to do a 180 turn of your whole mindset. So if I'm walking in this direction, I'm doing a 180 and I'm walking in this direction. That's what repentance is. And John the Baptist is saying, look, you want to say yes to the Messiah? You want to greet the Messiah as he comes to you? You don't need to just prepare physically. You need to prepare inwardly as well as outwardly. So everyone was coming to the Jordan River to get baptized. And by everyone, I mean everybody. Everyone was coming, and even the religious leaders were intrigued, and they were showing up to get baptized as well. And we often think of repentance as saying sorry for the bad things we've done in our life. But do you know what John the Baptist was saying is, yeah, that's part of it. But do you know what it also is? It's also repenting for the good things in our life that we do for the wrong reasons. So repenting for the good that we've done because of the self-righteousness in our hearts. Ooh, I come to church. Look at all this volunteering I do at the soup kitchen. Look at all this money I put in the offering plate. Look at me, self-righteousness. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. And that's why you hear the words of brood of vipers. The axe is laid to the tree and the fire is coming and the Son of Man is coming with a winnowing fork in his hand. You're like, wow, that's cheerful Advent, kind of peace on earth and joy in the highest, right? But the point is that you have to prepare your hearts. You have to prepare physically, but you have to prepare spiritually as well. The one thing that God asks of you is nothing. The one thing he asks of you is nothing. The book of Proverbs says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility melts God's heart. Humility melts his heart. It turns the heart. In fact, there's this prophecy in Malachi chapter 3, which is talking about this forerunner who will come to prepare the way for the Lord. It says, and suddenly the Lord will appear and his messenger will go before him, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the hearts of the children back to the father. The one thing that melts the father's heart is humility. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness. But you are the God whose nature is always to have mercy. Humble access. We come not of anything that we have done, but because what Jesus has done. John the Baptist chose the River Jordan on purpose. Because, you know, to get baptized, all you need is water. You could have done that in a creek, or in a tributary, or in a river, or even with a basin somewhere. Why did he choose the river? Because 1,000 years before that, he was saying, look back to that story. You know in your own personal history, Israel, Joshua had just led the people of Israel out of the land of slavery with the usurper king Pharaoh into the land of promise where God, where Yahweh was king. And baptism is doing the same thing. God has transferred us out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. That's what he's telling you. He's like, you didn't bring yourself into the water. God is doing this. He is the external agent of grace. Approach him with humility. So lastly, when we come with humility, what happens? And John the Baptist says this, prepare to be amazed. Prepare to be amazed. Every conception that Israel had for who the Messiah was going to be left in tatters with the coming of that little babe of Bethlehem. It was going to be completely different than they'd ever anticipated. Prepare to be amazed. I baptize you with water, but one after me is coming that is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, now to him, God the Father, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond we could ever ask, think, or imagine. To him be glory in Christ Jesus in the church in the world. God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond we could ever ask, think, or imagine. I really enjoy Christmas. One of my favorite things on Christmas morning is to actually see the wonder and amazement in my kids' eyes. Sometimes they ask for things that are outrageous, and I'm like, we can't afford that. Or I don't think I can find that. I'm not sure. I'd have to hunt and find some really weird niche Etsy shop that would make that. But when I find that, or better said, when my wife finds that, let's be honest. And they're opening all the presents. Wait, there's one thing more. And then we go into like this other spare bedroom and we pull out this one gift that they weren't expecting. It was unexpected. Come thou long expected Jesus, right? But he came so unexpected than the way that they anticipated Messiah. And it was greater than what they'd anticipated. It was greater than what they had hoped for. And when they unwrap, my kids unwrap that present, the excitement, the joy, the hope of seeing that. And that's precisely what John the Baptist is saying, is that when Jesus comes, the way he rescues us is genius. It's way better than we could ever think. They were thinking a Messiah is going to come. He's going to kick out the Romans with the sword. And how does he come? He establishes a kingdom that can never be conquered. You know what? The Roman Empire has come and gone. There was, to quote Malcolm Muggeridge, there was an Austrian in the 1930s that talked about an empire going for a madman from Austria who was saying he had an empire that was going to go on for 1,000 years. Lasted only about 15. But the thing is that empires can come and go, but Christ's empire will never end. Why? Because he ushered it in by his own blood. He made the perfect sacrifice for us as the King of love who offered himself for his people to bring us in. So this season, may you prepare the way physically. May you prepare the way spiritually in your own hearts. And through that humility, may you prepare to be amazed at the wondrous gift that is given in that baby of Bethlehem. Lord, we thank you because your Spirit has gone out before you, preparing the way for your Son, and that you have asked us to prepare the way physically and spiritually. We can now stand to be prepared to be amazed. And we thank you for all this in Christ's strong name. Amen.